But without further ado, I'd like to welcome to the floor the guest, the illustrious griot, Delbert Blair. Delbert, welcome to the show, and thank you for joining us again.
Tamara Westwood, it's always a pleasure. Don't have it experienced too often, but when I do, it's a, what can I say, it's compensatory for all the times that I didn't get a chance to see you talk with you. And as you described your weather, I can finally say, even in Chicago, we had a beautiful day. And that's very difficult. But yeah,
you know,
wish I was there.
That's my home. So I know all about Chicago's weather, so I'm glad that it's beautiful there as well.
Yeah, so it's a better day all over the earth, though, when people begin to come into consciousness once more and begin to stand against some of these nefarious deals that are going on. And there was an interesting thing too before we get into, I heard you say the main topic. That was a heck of a topic to try to even get into, but it was very interesting recently in the course in Chicago, where sports people and most of our teams lose when they win just enough to keep you excited but not enough to satisfy you. And what happened recently, they had Derrick Rose there. And, of course, he is a promise of the future. Now, I guess no one will ever replace Michael Jordan, but he was a promise of the future. So now the headlines of one of the papers here is called the Sun Times has him, you know, oh, he changed his his grades were changed when he was going from high school to college. Headlines, big picture of him in the back. Then a second page, four-column lead with two reporters. You know, I looked at this. You know, I wrote them too, and I'm gonna really make a fool out of them, because here they had a cyclone in Bangladesh 3 days ago, 200 reported people dead. I know it's much bigger than that. Millions of people homeless. You got stuff happening with Kim Jong-il in Korea. The headlines, and of course he only made billions for the school when he went there. You know, I'm saying, you know, this is something sick about this place. Something sick about our country at this time. Very sick.
Well, you know what? It makes us wonder, as we are all, or many of us, have turned our attention to this nonsense, what's really going on? And certainly, I think that leads us right into our show topic, or at least part of it. You know, we want to go into some really deep topics. You didn't really want to go into it last time, but this is what's happening today. We want to go into the origin of the human race here. There's a lot of talk about Nephilim and the Anunnaki. There's a lot of talk about that the Caucasian race was grafted or created. I'd like to go into a lot of that, and I know you have some information.
Well, I'm looking at it from the broader perspectives of metaphysics, which puts this planet back billions, if not trillions of years old. I have no idea how old this planet is. I do know that a billion figure would be minuscule. It would be kindergarten. So how many billions of years this planet has been around incorporating what we call time as years, I don't know. So let's just say, as they do in some of the Star Wars trilogies, in a galaxy a long, 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 long time ago, there seems to have been a group of creatures that came from the four points of this galaxy, not the cosmos, but this galaxy. And they each brought in an area of understanding. So if you look at the galaxy as a circle, and then they all came from the four points of that circle, it would cause a cross to be made, each one bringing in 90 degrees of comprehension. And at the center of that was supposed to be the ability to make and understand how planets are made and to set up the seeding of those planets. So now whatever time we're talking about, a million years ago, billion years ago, from the four corners of this galaxy came an intelligent race, and there were four of them that came together to bring in the 360 degrees of understanding to create a planet, each one with 90 degrees of comprehension. The catch was that they were mind creatures. They didn't have physical bodies. As in the beginning of all things, there is no such thing as physicality being the origin of anything. It is the end results of some things that the mind sets in force, if you can follow what I'm saying on that one. So these were not creatures with bodies. They were mental, and they could create from wherever they were the kind of apparatus or even bodies that they would need. So they were light beings. They were mind creatures. They had no physical body. Since they were now working on what was to be said a third dimensional, a high second and a low third dimensional thing. They had to learn how to create matter and how to seed it. So this is what they were in the process of doing. With these 360 degrees of comprehension now, just like a scout troop went out there, an advanced scout troop to make a planet and work it. So they were working on this. How long they were working on this, I have no idea. But they were told they'd have to make this planet so it would be in a vibration that many things could live on it. And what they were warned about was it would have a sun, because this would be a sun system in this particular solar system, and that's what solar means, sun system. And they came from worlds that had no sun. They were called dark worlds, as we're now beginning to hear the use of dark matter once more, when metaphysics has talked about this for as long as I've read it in this lifetime. So it's nothing new for people into the deeper study of metaphysics. So what they hated, or what they were, I wouldn't say hate, maybe that's a wrong tense or wrong word, they didn't like sun, because they could create light whenever they wanted to the degree that they needed it. So they had to now learn how to build worlds that could take sun. So while they were working on this particular planet, so on and so forth, there's seemingly the sun reversed polarity here. The minor sun that they thought they had time enough to work around and get away from began to send out signals so it would grow, and it went through what they call a sun cycle while they were working here. They seemingly had used some kind of a contraption to make themselves somewhat physical while working on this physical planet, and it caused them to change. It caused them to get more dense. For instance, again, as we here talked about, I'm going as best as I can to make a long, long story as short as I can, but still not to lose the audience. Whether you believe it or not is a whole different thing. But it's
well,
as though
you're doing an excellent job. I mean, it's very clear, and I appreciate it because you're breaking it down so that I can understand it.
And hopefully I can too. So now, it means that these creatures now, if they made rock or begin to solidify physical corporeal reality, minerals into a rock, they could put their minds into the rock and then understand what the rock was doing or what the rock needed, because they were the rock. If they made water, they were the water. Mm-hmm. If they made trees, they were the wood in the trees. But they were not those things because they could put their mind wherever they want to. In other words, that's what we talk about many times. Did you put your mind to it? See, we use certain phrases. Or they'll ask you again, well, where were you? Your mind was a million miles away. And, of course, they talk about the speed of light being 186,000 miles a second. But you can be in your mind anywhere you want. There is no such thing as speed or time when you use your mind. So this is what we've got to understand, the difference between physical reality, which is a oxymoron, there's no such thing as physical reality, or the mental comprehension of physical reality. And this is where we have to go with this. So while here, this sun began to amplify, magnify, or whatever you want to say it, and they got frightened because they knew that that meant that if that sun energy was built for this particular planet and their minds were in it, their minds would be affected by this sun, and they might have to become locked into this place, and this is what they feared. So their comrades, I guess, which were holding fort in whatever they were doing out in space, saw this happening and start fleeing, like you might as well say, with crazy people. They left. And they left them without, I guess you might say, putting into the transporter or fixing up the guys that they left down here working. So they ran out and left them. And then by the time they were working deeply inside this physical contraption called a planet, by the time they got to the surface and I guess to beam aboard or do whatever they did, what they call actually traveling, what is referred to now as the, I can't think of the name they use for it now, but it's the, they were traveling with the Kabah. Oh, anyway, the Kabbalah.
Oh, the Merkaba.
Merkaba. There we go. There we go. And that's the vehicle.
In other words, Scotty, who was there, supposed to beaming them up, supposedly there to beam them up, had left them.
Had left them, yes. And the vehicle that they were using was a combined thought vehicle. It was called the Merkaba. Okay.
Uh-huh.
The Mer means waves or flowing or energy flows. The Ka and the Ba is the soul and the mind. The soul and the brain, the Ka and the Ba. So they left with the overall Merkaba, leaving these individuals, Ka's, or spirits, stuck here. So because of that, they then got caught up in a more or less low vibrational human type of a thing. That's the best word I can use for right now to explain what human really means. So here they were. you might as well say fallen gods, a very advanced race of consciousness here to make a planet, and got caught up in the planet or in the kindergarten or whatever it was they were working on. So this set up a long concept of a problem on this particular porthole or planet or cell or whatever you want to call it we're on. So that's the way the story goes. So they became known as the abandoned ones, and they were referred to in history and metaphysical history as the abandero, the abandoned deros. And deros meant derogatory robotized organism, but we'll have to wait for that too. But this is the set that sets this pace of a race or a whatever you want to call them, of people, of creatures or something that were not supposed to be here, are supposed to be the advance guard of very prolific in consciousness races that now are stuck on a planet like Earth. So they also knew that their life would be seeded here, and they were about the business of setting up this planet to get this life seed.
They might as well. They were stuck, so they...
Well, that's what they were supposed to do. So now they became a lost seed. Now they became a star seed. They became now part of the life form that was going to be growing up here, but now they weren't supposed to be growing up here, but now they were stuck. And as the planet took on more density, they lost their minds. Now, you see, when you lose your mind, doesn't mean you lose your brain power. It means you lose a higher consciousness of universal mind connection, but now you become just like anything else, down to where the mental connection of that particular planet's grade is. If it's kindergarten, if it's first grade, second grade, third grade, high school, you know, wherever you want to go. So now they were in a kindergarten.
This was a deep amnesia.
Call it that. All right. So there's your setting now. Now, because of having now deserted these fallen angels or gods, they also knew that they would do what they had to do, which would be to get off the surface of this planet, since they were building it, because that's where all the sun rays hit. And it's been stated in metaphysics that intelligent life does not live on the surface of a planet. Remember that. It lives in the interior of a planet because of the fact that you're not your own boss if you've got a sun, where we get the phrase, nothing new under a sun. Because suns are now these solar, they are now like guides. They are now like computer programs that are now running, and nothing new is going to come there. You only learn from that computer program. Whereas if you're an advanced race, you don't need a computer program. You make up your own computers. Can you follow my logic here now?
I see. I'm listening. I got it.
All right. So now, here you have now this fallen race inside of an Earth crust that is getting more dense, but they're still living down there in the bowels. Now, this particular planet was supposed to be set up with a nuclear cell, or what they would call, again, a soul, if you would. And again, remember, soul actually means a created energy close to the creator. Okay, so now there was now a sun down inside of this place so that this planet could begin to live as a new cell, but it was still operated by the higher sun, and then other cells were being set up too later on. These are what they're now called planets. Now, with all of that in mind, they then, these ones that then left them, their comrades who got scared and left them as point guards to get left out, or as a platoon gets left out, they said, we got to do something. We don't know what we've done. We ain't going back there, but we got to do something. So they said that they then sent a soul that was made purposely to be sacrificed or sent as a god to these abandoned ones. And that particular incarnation was called Seth. And the term was called, his name was Sethantis. I shouldn't say him, because original people were androgynous. There was no such thing as sex. It was a being that was neither male nor female called Seth, or the name Sethantis. Now, if you go back to the Superman type things, if you remember, this is the way that they said Superman was born. Okay, if you remember all the comic strips in the news, it was this guy came from. Remember that, how that went?
I do.
Okay, so you might as well think of that same scenario. But the catch was, instead of Krypton and Kryptonite, he was given melanin. Now, melanin, therefore, is said to be a gift from the higher gods or the higher sources, because melanin was made of dark matter. And dark matter is the original matter, because from matter you can now get substance, and this is where you can get your suns, but it comes from the world of darkness, what they call dark matter. We're not even talking about dark holes yet, black holes. We've got to talk now about dark matter. And this person was given a serum or something that once he got to the planet Earth and he opened up this particular device that he was in or this soul was in, they were to administer over a length of time this dark matter into him. So the first original person on Earth that was black would be Seth, Sethantis. But understand the meaning of that. It meant that the serum he was given or the plasma that he was given or the substance that he was given allowed, which was now called melanin, allowed him to now live on the surface, in the air, or in the interior. It meant he could be extraterrestrial, terrestrial, or interterrestrial. We've lost sight of understanding interterrestrial. We're just beginning to say terrestris, which is one of the names for Earth, too. It has many names, and then extraterrestrial. But this is how you begin to get these nomenclatures called X, N, and inner, if you would. So with that in mind now, to govern and help the abandoned ones, the abanderos, the ones that were left again, Seth then became like a giant that could be cosmic. He could relegate, it could relegate itself to the higher dimensions, or what they call the heavens, could live on the surface, or could live inside the interior, because all he was, in a sense, was a mitochondria in a cell. So making it better than to get that artificialization, now we got the things we got. So you got somebody living inside, you got intelligent life, or life beginning to, I don't know how intelligent it was, but life beginning to appear on the surface. And even in the higher heavens, it had begun to get consciousness, too. So you had existence now on a planet, which is on most planets under the sun, a heaven, a basic, and then a hell. But the word hell came from the word Helen, to cover. It has no depiction of a place of lake of fire or Beelzebub and all this stuff. It merely meant one that was covered, one that lived on the surface, and then the ability to also live in the air or the surrounding energy around the planet there, too. Now, that having been said, we have to get into terminology that we use that I don't think most people understand the differentiation of, and if they do, then let me explain what I think about it, and then they can take me to task or help me out. One is called man, the other is called human, and the other is called mankind. Three different consciousnesses, three different things. Maybe that the twins should not meet, but now we interrelate them as though, no, you're talking about different things. When you're talking about man now, you're talking about a person, not necessarily male, but a creature that came from higher sources or from the gods and has the ability to go back to the gods because they were spawned of or came from or responded to the spawn of man. That is man. Human means animal man. Now, many black people especially, and some non-black people, refer to human as H-U-E. That is furthest from the truth. It has nothing to do with the hue of something. That has been a misunderstanding, I think, recently. Human met animal man from the god Hubris and Humerus, by which they then began to use an animal kingdom on some planets which had nothing but animals. Don't want to take it too further than that, because that's going to get confusing, and I don't want it to be more complex and confusing than it may already be. But
well,
human,
Dr.
Then,
Blair, the image that comes in is the island of Dr. Moreau.
Amen. Amen Ra. Amen Ra. There you go. And that's why you see in many of these people who are writing fiction that didn't know how to bring this story once they read it in some of the ancient books and literature that they had at Own and at Kush and places like that where they studied this, you see, and they took that literature and they burned it and they hid it, and then certain people who felt that they were more responsible took those books that were not burned and studied them and gave them to their scholars. That's where they can be so wise now. But originally in Africa, what they call Mexana, it used to be a place there called Own, and the library at Own was where they later changed to the library called Alexandria. After Alexander the Great. Well, there's no such thing as Alexander the Great. He's Alexander from Macedonia, a big killer and a fighter, and they didn't read too well anything else. He was not Sir Charles Burton, okay, or Richard Burton.
So this is when he went in and he conquered Kemet. And he,
there you go.
He,
and he burned the library there because they couldn't read and they couldn't write, believe it or not. And the Greeks don't like to hear that part about it, but that's true too. But anyway, that's where all this material, one of the places it had been, instead of also places inside the Earth, which they're still trying to get to those libraries down there. That's another reason for many of these wars, to try to find some of this apparatus and stuff like that. The third thing, going back again for that little sidetrack, was mankind.
Yes.
Now, mankind meant a clone, a hybrid, a machine, much as they're trying to tell you now. If you see, they got movies now, the result of the machines, and the machines are transformers and stuff. You see, all this stuff that played before is beginning to have to play out again because we're ending the time of a cycle. We're coming around to where we're going to either spiral upward, spiral downward, or go around the same circle again, destroying ourselves and destroying the life form to make this planet again what it is and was again. So this is why it's a very important time in the life of this planet. So with all of those three delineations now, man, human, and mankind, you can see differences in all of those interrogatory type depths. When you start to interrogate in that sense, you have to find out that each one of these things was different. So that's your first black person. That's the introduction of melanin. That shows that there is life in, on, and around our planet, and how all planets under the sun have one similarity, none of them are original. And they can only progress as far as that sun allows them. And when they progress enough, they lose their sun. They become sons of the sun. They begin to understand what's really going on. And then they can create light and get into dark matter and all the things that you see happening now. That's the portent. That's the general concept. That's my basic theorem, thesis. And we can go from there.
Yes, indeed. So who indeed? Okay. First of all, we have this mission. They wanted to create this planet. And of course, that makes me think of In Search of Spock, you know, the Star Trek movie where they created the Genesis, the Earth, and then, of course, Spock was recreated, you know, and whatever. So it makes me think of that. So there was a mission to create a planet and to seed this planet. And then when they got stuck here, then they created someone with melanin, the first black person, so that they could survive in and on the planet to deal with the sun, yes?
And this was then where Seth was called one of the original gods again. It was the first god on earth, but again, you got the history of that god. So god doesn't mean much anyway because the creator, or some people like to call creatrix, I don't want to get all this masculine and feminine stuff. I think we've taken that too far, too. This androgynous person at this particular time with consciousness was black, okay, or had melanin. And melanin allows you to adapt to anything on this planet and still does, as long as you do it in a natural sense. Now, the thing is that in alchemy, and in chemistry, as the Greeks have introduced it now, and now it's been changed into a whole different synthetic form of things. Chemistry had nothing to do with alchemy, and alchemy deals with the things that were indigenous to this planet, as the gods made this planet in the terms of the light of the Creator, and anything else is synthetic. And so, when you now have melanin, which is not synthesized, but is the best plasma that the gods, the ancient ones, had to give, and now you mess with it or you change it by using chemistry, then you're going to mess with anything that has melanin because it is original. It is where we get the word org, and that's the highest element that a planet under the sun can use. And org energy, of course, is original energy, orgasm, organism. Now we're trying to get back to the original because we're coming back to that cycle again, but that's what org meant. There are three energies that a planet under the sun can utilize: org, magnet, in which you have north and south poles, and the north pole is usually the one you want to utilize. The south pole you have to be very careful with, but you can live on magnetic energy. And the last and worst one, you can't get much lower, is electricity. And our planet not only uses electricity, the lowest form, to maintain any kind of sentient life, but we're using extra low frequency, elf waves. Now, that's going to the bottom of the pit. You can't get any lower than that and still stay in any way intelligent. So this is why this is one of the lowest graded intelligent planets is under a sun. But that's all in the process of now changing. And that's another whole story.
Now, here we are. We have this one black person here that's supposed to transform. Now, he came down here to help free his other companions who had gotten caught up in the planet. And where did the seeding begin? How did we all get here?
Well, first of all, remember, this race was not a race of people as we think about. They had no color.
Right.
They were colorless. There was no such thing as color, okay? This person or this cell that now, when it grew up, was to have an ability to transform itself whether it lived on a surface, inside or outside, under a sun, keep all this in mind, was therefore a person who, in order to stay under the sun and not become deranged and so, had to have melanin. And that's still true. You still have people who cannot take sunlight, ultraviolet waves or ultra-low waves, infrared or whatever again, because you have to adapt to that. And the adapting agent is melanin. So then they had to bring about a creature that could perform its own melanated aspect, and they invented what was called the pineal glands. But keep in mind now, when you start getting into glands, then you have to start talking about something that you have to encase it with, which is called an organ. And when you talk about organs, you have to get to something that can sustain it all, so you have to get to the original thing, which were called the chakras, the wheels of life. So then these creatures had to produce lights from the light being. They were called chakras. And then as these chakras hardened, or they began to accept more and more cells, then you had glands beginning to grow. Then from the glands beginning to grow, you got organs. And then the secretion of the gland to maintain the organ was called hormones. Okay. Mm-hmm. So now you've built a whole...
created with a purpose.
Well, all created with a purpose. But the whole catch was the highest form of this had to have melanin, because otherwise it was limited to wherever it was that they found themselves. And this is why melanin is still coveted. It can't be duplicated. They try to give, they have something called melatonin, and why anybody that has melanin would ever want to buy melatonin, I have no idea, because you don't understand the basis of that in order to make that kind of a move. But either way, that's why you now have a pineal gland that can manufacture melanin. No scientist that I know of has been able to break down melanin to its component parts. It always breaks it down to something more to break it down into. They've even tried some very horrible experiments at Montauk with that, but this I'm going to, and there could be another whole show and a whole program. But so now you've got the scenario. So then you have on the island of Dr. Moreau and all this kind of thing, you've got animal people. You've got people that were made from apes and people that were made from tigers and people that were made from dinosaurs. You got all kind of thing. Then you have mankind, but when they found out that once you had a cell and you could take part of that cell, if you could take the RNA, the ribbon of life, you could duplicate that inside of a dinocloacast or the DNA, and you could remanufacture that person. The catch is you can do it six times. The second time is a blank, and that ends that race. So they don't have everlasting life because they're soulless. So now you can begin to see a lot of stories now. And the reason why these vampire movies, all these things, these reptile movies are coming back, the dinosaurs, is because the planet's consciousness, the memory of the planet, the membrane of the planet, the Akashic Bank, the energy field around the planet, which records everything that happened on this cell, because that's all this planet is a cell. Now we're beginning to understand, as we become good little mitochondria, what where our purpose may be. And for those who really stretch it up by using some of the monatomic gold and things like this, and this is why they tell you don't use it because they don't want you to get comprehension, you begin to come back to where all these legends started from, why the worshiping of gold, why the story of the Matrix, why the story of melanin, why you kill for it. All these things begin to make sense as little by little that memory, that veil of Maya is being lifted, and we're coming back into the consciousness. That must mean that there's something pretty big about to happen, and something is going to happen with people that have melanin, and something is going to happen to the planet itself. Now you can set the stage for a bunch of other things that may happen.
Now, Dr. Blair, I'm going to open up the phone lines. I already have it. The phone lines are just full already. But before I do that, and just for anyone who's just tuned in, we're speaking to the Griot. A very wise gentleman. If you've been listening for even 2 minutes, you recognize this. This is Delbert Blair of Chicago, Illinois. He's right there. I see all kind of people in the phone line from the Chicago area. You
have interesting.
Out and hear this person speak. But in order to get in and to call in and ask your question and to join the conversation, call 347-843-4485. That's 347-843-4485. We're going to open up the chat room in just a moment. And if you want to be seen in the switchboard, just push a number 1. Dial number 1 on your keypad, and you'll be moved up so that we'll know that you want to ask a question of Delbert Blair. So my question is, here we are. It's all been set up. When did the seeding happen? How did people, did different peoples from different galaxies come in to seed the plants and the animals? They were apparently doing experiments trying to create something. what was the whole purpose? Who were these Anunnaki and the Nephilim?
Well, Nephilim means one thing. Anunnaki means those that fell from the sky. A Nephilim could be the higher ranges of gods, if you would. But here's the best way I can do to try and explain that in my limited consciousness. And that is just simply this, that the planet was here. It was not the original purpose of anybody to have it here, but to let the planet begin to grow its own and to attract its own. But now, since the fallen ones, our highest rank gods around, were here, they said, well, we got a place now. The gods are there. We can keep their memory going. We can now use this as a zoo or a prison planet.
Uh-oh.
Because now any life form that gets out of hand, we don't know what to do with it. They knew they couldn't kill. We'll learn that yet. If you have a soul, you can't die. So all you do when you imprison and kill souls is set up karma, and that's what they don't understand, what the dharma of karma would be. So they said they then began to send in what they called the laggards. And then this planet, which is nothing but a glorified zoo, laboratory, experiment, I don't know what the heck to call Earth, but I know she suffered enough, and this is why they're granting her a dispensational right. So now you had everything being brought in. Those that they couldn't do anything with in other places, send them to Earth. Those that they didn't know what to do with it, send them to Earth. Why? Because the best teachers and doctors were there. The gods themselves could do something with it, since we couldn't. And, of course, we get into the whole aspect that is asked by NASA, never a straight answer, and all the things about can there be intelligent life. Intelligent life, that can't be on Earth because there ain't too much intelligence on this planet. But I will say in other planets there's extremely intelligent life forms, and literally, I don't even know what figure to use, billions or tens and millions of intelligent life forms. And, of course, we get here, we're thinking very pompously that we're something. We're really not much of anything, but we're coming back into consciousness, and that's the only way I can say about it.
And so we're waking up.
Waking up. Some of us have birthmarks that are nothing but stamp suits that they grow into. If you're fine, you can get a Chinese person, you can get a Japanese person, you can get an Australian person, an African person, a Caucasian person, and they all will have the same kind of birthmark. People don't ever understand that yet, because we're stamped into some of these things. That's a stamp on it again, you know. As I say, we don't understand the very obvious because we've been under a mental control by those who never wanted us to waken up, and especially when they understood that if we understood we had the bloodline of the gods, that we might become very dangerous to their ilk, and that's when you start getting into Dracons. And no, we don't have time to get into all that and make any sense of anything now.
All right, I won't mess with that. But I do have to ask the question that here we are. We are people of melanated descent. Now, you're saying that we are descendant of the gods. Touch on that just a little bit. I know, I see you all. I'm going to open the phone lines.
They don't think you are. Any rate, well, I just did. The gods would be there for what? The gods would be any intelligent life form, any science that is advanced that comes to an aboriginal or indigenous person that is not advanced will be confused by, they have a called the cargo cult. During World War II, a plane crashed. These guys got a radio set. And then the cranes came and got them. Now they have houses they build like planes because they want the gods to come and get them. A god simply means an advanced science race. There's only one creator.
Okay.
Everybody else, if you advance far enough, you know, they get into nanotechnology now. They're getting scalar technology. They got HARP and is out. So that's all that means. It's just a form that is now using matter in a different form.
Okay. Well, I have, let me open up the phone line here. We have in Chicago, looks like that's my dear twin cousin, Albert. Albert, you're on the air. We have a question or comment for Delbert Blair.
Oh, how you doing, Dale?
Hey, Albert.
Well, it wasn't you called me. I'm walking in Walmart, and I just got off the show. But, I do have a question. I came in the middle of the show, but... I believe I came in, the speaker was speaking on how, I think he may have been saying we're the only planet that lives on top of the planet as opposed to inside of the planet. Am I correct?
The only planet? No, I wouldn't say we're the only planet, no. It's just that a planet under a sun, at least a planet in this solar system, has an exterior, a surface, and an interior, and life can live in all three of those areas.
Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
Was that it?
And one other question, and I'm not sure if you touched on this as well. You know, they had a movie out, something about Mars, and they were talking about how life, they went into showing or whatever, faith on Mars, and they had, and at one time, I guess, a life form had come from that planet to the Earth. I was wondering, was there any significance to, you know, that whole storyline?
Well, yes, I think that there's, when you find legend and when you find stories that are retold by griots and Oshawisha men, and I don't want to, because I'll leave out one, somebody else would be disappointed. Those stories come down because they had a beginning. And most of the beginnings were close to the truth. But because we had lost so much consciousness, we didn't know truth when we heard it, because our scientists didn't told you. If you know, if it wasn't, you couldn't see it, hold it, be it, or something. It doesn't exist, which is idiotic. But nevertheless, we have some idiots that call themselves scientists, and all they're after really is tenure and able to get, you know, sabbaticals and stuff like this. And if they deviate too far from that truth, they don't get either, so they never tell the truth. And science means one who knows, or scion means to search or to know. Most of our scientists, when they do find it, they're too afraid of shaking the book, so they don't. So I simply say again, you have to begin to go down into some of the ancient texts, and most of those are placed in metaphysics, and that's why you find that all secret societies have a metaphysical library, because that's where you find your truth. The rest of these are metaphors and inscribations and things to help people sell books, make money, and control minds.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Thanks for calling, Albert. I'll talk to you later.
Mm-hmm.
I do have a question from the chat room. Very curious about where you've gotten this information. It's all ringing so true. It is just very powerful. As you said, we are waking up, so we can sense and feel the truth in it. But the person in the chat room just wants to know, was it intuited? Did you receive it through study or from another source?
Well, I was a college history professor. I left that a long time ago. I had an incident that changed my entire life way back in end of 1959, 1960, in which I met some brothers. I met some people. They didn't turn out. They were brothers. We didn't start off on a good footing, but they turned out to be because of my ignorance. And I met them. They were black, and they could do things I couldn't do. And after I saw what they were capable of doing and I couldn't, everything else, every field of study became nonplussed. It was stupid because I saw them tell me, predict the future by 18 minutes, read my mind, transport me in time, and then brought three UFOs over my house. So once you, I wanted to be like Mike. Because after that, I didn't see any professor that showed me anything I wanted to do. So I just left all of that. Because after that, and I began to study voraciously, I meditated, and a lot of my wishes have been granted, some of which I wish hadn't been, you know, to tell you to be careful, and others have not been. But it gave me something to shoot for that I needed as a kind of an inquisitive soul as I am.
Wonderful. Well, I hope that did answer your question. It certainly answered mine. Makes perfect sense. So just out of curiosity, these brothers that you ran into that so shifted your life, I mean, what was their origin? How did they develop these powers?
I never asked them that question. I only had that one opportunity. It was for about 3 hours, and I was so busy getting other questions answered. And that part never came up. This is what, when you fragment a story, it kind of doesn't make sense. I met them through a Polish man named George Adamski, because I was going to a UFO symposium, and that's another long story. I do have it on tape. I got 135 tapes, and some of these things are on there. I didn't even talk about it for about 10 years, but there were some people that witnessed what I went through, so they were like my backbone. But because of that, then that's how I met them. I was a student struggling, and couldn't go. I went out to a symposium where he was supposed to speak. He was there on a Friday and Saturday. I came on a Friday. He wasn't there Saturday. I didn't have enough money to go back. He told me, come back again. And then he had called these two brothers, I guess, to come to speak to me, because he spoke to me for 5 hours the night before, didn't know me from anybody, Adam, but must have picked up something in my vibes and figured this little guy needed some kind of help. So that's where it all started off. But that's the whole story overall. But that was how it came about. And some questions I asked, I got answered. But I had so many questions, I guess I forgot some of the answers. But since that time, through meditation and study, now if I need to know something, I go within. And that's what I tell everybody. I can find anything I want to know by accident after I do my meditation. I'll read a book or hear a conversation or turn on the radio or follow that first mind and I see a television show. If I need the answer, it will be presented. It will be presented within 72 hours. And it works for me. It'll work for anybody else, too. There's nothing so great about what I do. It's just that people don't know it, and you trust the wrong people to give you information, and they're usually controlled by organizations who don't want you to be awake.
Yes. Well, I can certainly attest to that, Dr. Blair. It happens for me. I think a lot of times we're frightened of asking the right questions, because when we ask those questions, we're going to get the answer.
Amen.
I remember once asking, I really want to know the truth. I want to know. And then I heard, are you sure you want to know?
Be careful what you ask for. You just might get it.
I said yes.
Yeah, I had an incident happen today. I'm not going to go into it, but I needed reassurance, and I asked for it the way I'm supposed to, got the answer, and was shocked when I got it, or got the, So as I say, sometimes we're not prepared to stay on a high plane because we're mortal. But when we deal with our immortal self or our souls, and we understand that we can get a gift from the Creator.
Great. Well, I invite you all. I know that everyone, I see the chat room is full there. Everyone is probably just kind of standing there with their mouths gaping open because of this information. But please, don't be scared. Come on, call in and ask a question at 347-843-4485. There are no dumb questions. The only dumb ones are the ones that aren't asked, right?
Yeah, the ones that I pose. it's also to Tamara, if I may, I do have a website, and
yes,
I do have a lot of tapes, and I have more tapes than are not on the website. But if I could give that out, I appreciate it. May I?
Yes, please.
It's
do.
It's www.the, you have to put in the prefix, T-H-E, themetacenter.com. Very short and simple. www.the Meta, short for metaphysical.com.
Mm-hmm.
And got a phone landline, and that's 708-422-6685. 708-422-6685. And that's where you can contact the Meta Center. We have a large website dealing with all kind of products, from monatomic gold to about 40 different kind of magnetic devices, from mattresses to bracelets. We have diodes, which is another thing, too. That's another thing. When I state to people that the diodes are a gift from the future for a struggling mankind today, people don't want to believe it. And I've had people try to back engineer it. I knew they couldn't, but I let them try anyway. But those are the devices you can now use on those cell phones, and you can put your food on to take out poisons and toxins, your cigarettes and your tobacco and drugs. You don't know what to do with them. Put them on a diode plaque. Sit on a diode plaque when you're driving your car so your sex organ starts getting radiated. As you're sitting on those cars that have a solid well to the frame of a car, and you turn on the motor and pass under a tower, and you're in deep trouble. Old things on that one. So I try to find solutions. There's many problems. I like
solutions. Answers
and solutions.
Well, yes, and I'm still waiting for mine. I'm excited to get those diodes.
Oh, you got cheated out, huh? Oh, my God. Okay. Okay, I heard that. And I know what happened there, too.
I'm excited about our people being able to contact you. Would you repeat that phone number again, please?
It's 708-422-6685.
Mm-hmm. All right. I'm putting it in the chat room here for everyone that wants to contact you. Well, wonderful. Well, it looks like I can go on with my further questions.
Okay. Nobody else wants to talk to me, huh? See, they talk to you,
well,
or talk to me.
Apparently, everything has been answered, apparently, or maybe, they're like, whoa, okay, I know where to go. I'll seek within.
I heard that.
But my question is about the whole, because you talked about the legends and you talk about the allegories and the myths that have, that have transcended time and nationality and religion and all of that. How about those fallen angels? We hear about the war in heaven where Michael threw out the great beast, the Satan, and what is all that about?
Wow. Well, most of the time you're referencing the Kabbalah, you're referencing the so-called Greek book, Bible, Biblic, that's what it means, Biblios, in the book of the Greeks that was translated. You're talking about generally Christian now references or religious references. If you know, if you're watching very closely now, as the times always show the signs, and the signs always show the times. Academy Award, what was this guy, Slumdog, whatever it was, Millionaire, won eight Academy Awards. The song that came from that got popular. They're doing disco, is bringing on that now again, even doing some reggae off of it now. And the most beautiful woman in the world now is said to be from India. And if you notice now, the Indians, and we're talking about real Indians because Columbus didn't know what to call the other ones, and they forgot their names too. So you're getting people from India now that are beginning to control this daggone country. They're buying lots of hotels,
that.
And there you're getting you switch over to India. Well, there's a reason for that. That's because if you read their book of truths, the Bhagavad Gita as it is, or the Upanishads, or the book of truths as they call it again, and you read the Rig Veda, these are all talking about the different things that happened on our earth, and they're some of the older people on our earth, and they are now coming back into their own. And that's another thing, too. You're going to, you know, that big dispute that's been going on now between India and China and Palestine and Pakistan and all of that is the old remnants. This is what all this is about, is they're coming back around to the time when they were great, when they were usurped, and when things didn't happen as they should. So what am I saying by answering your question by making a whole different thing? If you just watch the signs and understand true earth history, you'll see that everything is being played out like it once was before. Over there in Iraq, that's ancient Mesopotamia 1, what is this other word? I forget. Or in Sumer and all this kind of stuff. Over there in China now, you've got Kim Jong-il that's now facing death. He's very sick, but wants his third son to take over there. We have to go to understand the story of Korea and what it was, and the story of Vietnam. You see, all of these things where the star seeds and their gods have had to battle, they're still carrying on with their DNA remnant, and we're going to be caught up in it unless we can rise above all of that, use some of that melanin that they covet so much that's in them, use some of the ancient things that are within them, and stop trusting so much a people who are governing you who don't have your best interest. This is a whole problem. We've got to start going within. Anything you want to know, if you got a soul, and that's another thing, you can go within for. So I don't know if that answered your question, but it sure set up probably some other solutions to other questions.
You know, it did. It did on a very deep level. Thank you for that. And a question from the chat room. Oh, and I see another caller there. I'll get right to you. Very briefly, we have 8 minutes left for the show. But whose face is that on Mars, Delbert Blair?
It's the one of a black woman. Now, black woman does not describe race. I'm just doing it so we can cut through a lot of the other pronunciation. I can say it much more intelligently, but it describes a so-called Negroid-looking person that was up there because many of the Martians are and were Negroid. But now, again, you have to understand, the term Negro doesn't exist. Negroid is a whole different thing. And it would just say, so I, you know, how much time do I have to go into elocution using now a lot of different words?
You know what? We're just going to have you back on again to go deep into that. We'll just start from there.
Okay.
When we have you on again. And so let's, this caller, I think they've called back in again. Let's see. Caller from Chicago from 773. You're on the air. You have a question or comment for Delbert Blair?
Yes. Hello. This is Shakti from Chicago.
Hello. Hi, Shakti.
Hi.
How are you? We're cousins.
Yeah, we are. It's so good. Wonderful to finally talk to you, and thank you for having this brilliant, wonderful man on the show. I have a ton of questions. You answered one of them earlier, but I know we have 2.5 seconds left for the show. So I just wanted to, if you can touch on this question as it relates to Truth Earth history, as it relates to what's going on with the 2012 scenario. If you can touch a little bit on that, I'll be really grateful.
Well, I appreciate it. I appreciate the respect and compliments that you gave. That's the simpler thing. I believe in it. I don't believe it's attributed to the right people, but I believe in the prophecies for the solstice of December 21st, 2012, the lifting of the veil of Maya by supposedly the Mayans. And again, as I say, I don't want to touch on that because I can do them justice. So I'll simply say I believe in the date, but not the people that originated it, because the Olmecs were the ones that gave you that calendar. But at any rate, and that's not their real name. So I think it's going to happen by that time. Here we go. The earth will be in the beginnings of the fifth dimension. That means we'll be past the fourth dimension, which is like, and out of the third dimension, which means it's like going from kindergarten to postgraduate school in the space of the next 3 years. And that's why time is speeding up. For anybody who can see it, time is flying by. For those who can't, it's because they're not, their blood is not strong enough. They're not vibrating fast enough. By that time, there'll be a big separation. That, of course, is a whole different story. But our Earth has been granted the dispensation to go from the third dimension to the fifth dimension, and that will be within the next 4 years.
Wow. I love the way you put that. A kindergarten status to a
postgraduate.
Postgraduate degree. Wow. That's something to meditate on right there.
And that's why a lot of people are going to wake up. They're going to come into consciousness. This is why these crystal children are being born. The indigos didn't do what they were supposed to do. The crystals, you won't be able to do anything with them. When they hook up and they start getting into real food, like monatomic gold, which they're telling you not to take, you ought to be living in it, to raise that standard to the gold standard, which has nothing to do with the certificate in a bank somewhere, has to do with the consciousness that you can rise in the pineal gland up in the hypothalamus that can make you a god.
Well, you know what it sounds like? We just have to strap in and hold on for the ride. Because I'm ready.
Right.
Many people are. Many people are, and they're looking forward to it. But again, be careful for what you think you want.
What do we need to do? We need to get some of that monatomic gold, which you do offer on your website. What else do we need to do to be able to ride this through and to become successful in it?
I feel you need three things that we offer, and that's monatomic gold, magnets, and diodes. The monatomic gold will raise the blood energy up to 121 megahertz. The thing is, can you take it? No germ can live past that. So when you come with the swine flu and all the rest of the foolishness, you won't be susceptible to that. Secondly, you need diodes to protect you from the radiation from all these towers that are everywhere on our planet. They got 252 cities and towns, and each one of those has 6 and 7 scalar technology and microwave ovens and every other daggone thing. So the diodes would take the radiation poisons from you if you sleep on it, or correct it as it's being used by these cell phones and towers and what are you, TV sets and computers and all this stuff. And then the third, of course, is magnets, and that will help to speed up healing and take away pain and help your cells that are magnetized to work on a higher vibration. So we already have solutions and help on those for those who are wise enough to begin to see how they can use them and give them a try.
Wonderful. Well, we have 3 minutes left. If you would, please, we have another question and comment in the chat room, but it doesn't look like we have enough time. So if you could please give out your information once again, and then we just thank you so much for coming.
Well, I appreciate you for having me. And the contact number on the website is www.the, don't just put in Meta Center, themetacenter.com, because somebody stole the Meta Center, but they couldn't steal the registration of the Meta Center. So rather than going to that, it's themetacenter.com, www.themetacenter.com. Landline, 708-422-6685. 708-422-6685.
Wonderful. And I have placed that, both of those avenues of contact, in the chat room there for you. So please contact Delbert Blair. He's right there in Chicago. Oh, my goodness. I can't wait to get home to Chicago so I can meet you, brother.
Sweet home, Chicago.
I thank you so much for joining us, and we've got to have a part three because this was awesome. Thank you, Shakti, for calling. Thank you, Albert, for calling. And thank you, listeners, wherever you are in the world listening to Solutions Radio. And our co-host, Curtis Davis, will be back with us next week.
Oh, also, by the way, have briefcase, will travel, or teleconferencing, or any other conferencing.
Most definitely. We'll be in contact.